Today's episode of the Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Commerce Tools.
Make sure your brand and your business is ready for the trillion-dollar e-commerce market. Commerce Tools, the global leader in commerce and creator of the powerfully composable Mach architecture, can help you achieve bite-sized wins or upsized achievements faster than ever. Whether you are looking to reduce maintenance costs for legacy systems or put the power of AI to work for you quickly, Commerce Tools is your partner for commerce success. Go to commercetools.com to learn how to get started.
It's April 8th, 2024, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, UPS wins U.S. postal contract from FedEx. Beyond.com has a new vision. Home Depot acquires SRS distribution. Amazon removes Just Walk Out technology from its Amazon Fresh stores. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains four items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, UPS wins U.S. postal contract from FedEx. It seems to me like for some time, the industry has felt this wounded animal in FedEx, and it's pretty clear it will not stop until new management is brought in. From FedEx laugh at Amazon and subsequent silly spat, which we know who ended up winning that one, the continued rise of regional carriers in the last 10 years based on the success of zone skipping as a rate reduction strategy, Fred Smith stepping down as CEO in 2022, and FedEx failing to integrate its air and ground networks for over 20 years. FedEx has also had declining volume throughout 2023, along with other carriers, as part of the decline in volume of traditional mid-market customers. In the face of all this, the fact that UPS won a significant new contract from the U.S. Postal Service for its air cargo was almost an afterthought. Obviously, it's a lot of consistent volume that FedEx will have to replace, even if it was declining. No doubt FedEx will spin the next earnings call as, "Our revenue per piece has skyrocketed," which, it's not wrong. But in a volume game like supply chain, your success needs to be a volume story. If you're Amazon, your guaranteed volume shipper is Amazon. If you're UPS, it's a little bit different story. Millions of small businesses rely on UPS, and they're making a concerted push into large healthcare customers. There are some commentators out there that thought FedEx should merge with Walmart. I don't think that's going to happen, at least not in the current form. What seems more likely to happen is one of two things. First, a new activist investor with a new hero CEO will arrive. Or the company will be rebroken up and sold for parts. All this leaves us with a key question. What is the value of FedEx at this point? To me, there's three things. First is over 2,000 FedEx office locations, what they acquired from Kinko's. Second is FedEx Ground. And third is FedEx Air, which is the heritage. If something is going to happen with Amazon or Walmart, it's totally possible those FedEx office locations are perhaps one of the most lucrative elements left standing. Our second story. Beyond.com has a new vision. The new chairman of Beyond.com, Marcus Lemonis, spoke at the International Houseware shows recently and outlined his new vision for Beyond.com. Mr. Lemonis spoke for about half an hour, and I listened to it to hear it firsthand. And then I listened to Chandra Holt, the new CEO. If you haven't heard, Marcus Lemonis has ended the saga at Bed Bath that started with activist investors installing Mark Tritton as CEO and ending with what shutting down $1.6 billion in revenue flowing through Overstock.com. He controls Beyond.com and installed Chandra Holt as CEO. In 2019, Mark Tritton was installed as CEO of Bed Bath & Beyond by a group of activists. He was later run out of the company after a failed turnaround in 2022, which never seemed to have a chance. Let's skip forward to June 2023. Overstock acquired Bed Bath & Beyond intellectual property for $20 million and some pocket lint. August 2023, Overstock announced it was rebranding as Bed Bath & Beyond. November 2023, Marcus Lemonis joins Beyond as co-chair. March 2024, Chandra Holt was named the CEO of Beyond, which is supposedly now a family of brands. Now in April 2024, Overstock.com has relaunched on Shopify. Follow this logic for a moment, which is outlined by Marcus Lemonis. Beyond is now a gallery of brands explicitly chosen for a reason not to commit to one brand. They want to build a grid of brands where every homeowner or renter in every income bracket is represented in that grid. They plan to go after luxury all the way down to deep, off-price flash sales. They want to give customers and vendors a great experience and build trust. And they say, if you build trust, the big payoff is what? You can build a portfolio to sell mortgages and insurance. That's right. They want to sell high-margin financial services like mortgages to people at a below-market price on top of an e-commerce business. Is this rescue job from the profit a mission of mercy or the world's greatest grift? The financial services element so explicitly outlined in the beginning makes me nervous about the company's future. Marcus bought the company because of nostalgia of going to Bed Bath & Beyond as a kid. It sounds like a strange reason to buy a company. Furthermore, Marcus mentioned he, quote, kicked all the idiots out of the room, which were running the company into the ground, especially the fatal decision to turn off Overstock.com. In terms of a new vision for Beyond.com, Marcus mentioned that the home is the hub of life, and there is a plan to launch a number of e-commerce sites around the home. Which brands are represented? They recently acquired Zulily and are looking for more acquisitions, including a small brick-and-mortar footprint. Zulily and Overstock are the company's off-price brands. The full-price brands are Bed Bath & Beyond, Backyard.com, which is apparently the country's largest supplier of cornhole, because suddenly you see Marcus and Chandra talking about cornhole a lot, Baby & Beyond, Kids & Beyond, College Living, Wamsutta, which was the Bed Bath & Beyond house brand. They will also launch a competitor to Sur La Table and Williams-Sonoma in the luxury tabletop space. This sounds super ambitious. I think the entire model is a dropship operation. Which, how do you and the vendor both make money here? If Marcus wants to build an unprofitable dropship business, shouldn't they just acquire Wayfair, which had negative EBITDA last year, and call it a day? To bottom line all this, what I hear is that the entire Beyond portfolio brands plans to be barely break-even, and then they plan to fund the business through high-margin loans and insurance, which either sounds ridiculous or predatory to me. If I buy a recliner from someone, why would I buy a home mortgage from the same vendor? Home mortgage by Lazy Boy? What is your right to win and competitive advantage in home mortgages? If it does work, it sounds predatory, which means grift is involved and the consumer's trust will be taken advantage of. If it doesn't work, the company will need another turnaround shyster in another few years because that's the only place the profit is going to come from. In the meantime, it looks like the company is just becoming a network of dropship e-commerce sites with perhaps a few stores attached to them, which sounds like what Wayfair used to be before they IPO'd and consolidated all those sub-brands into Wayfair.com. Our third story, Home Depot acquires SRS Distribution. It happens a lot in business. You have a traditional segment, say like the consumer or SMB. Now you have a fast-growing segment, maybe the professional or enterprise. And while growth in this new segment might continue for a while, sometimes unlocking the next phase of growth requires doing business differently. In Home Depot's case, the traditional organization can offer stores and digital tools, but if you're an independent professional building contractor, you need improved and deeper selection and improved fulfillment and service options. In its announcement, Home Depot mentioned being able to serve a complex purchase occasion. That means buying many different items with dependencies and fit concerns over a number of months, sometimes across multiple job sites. Home Depot realized there was an adjacent network of independent distributors and service locations that it could grow into, and so it did. In the e-commerce software world, there is not exact analogy here, but it would be like Adobe or Oracle acquiring someone like Accenture, owning the sale, configuration, and distribution into large accounts. In fact, IBM has acquired multiple service companies just like this strategy. Could it happen? Sure. Will it happen? Not likely. It seems most software companies want to stick to their lane and stick to higher margin business. The retail world, on the other hand, is already changing. Building service, fulfillment, and distribution is becoming table stakes. What's likely to happen in a case like this is Home Depot will make further similar acquisitions, perhaps across other verticals, and its competitors and partners in private equity will take notice too. More value chain verticalization seems to be on the horizon in this environment. And our last story. Amazon removes Just Walk Out from its Fresh stores. The Information released a report that Amazon is walking away from its Just Walk Out technology in its Amazon Fresh stores. And with this, I am reminded of a quote from Jeff Bezos in 2019 as I think about Just Walk Out technology. You know, the system that made it difficult to just walk into a store. During Amazon's Remars conference in 2019, Bezos told his employees, "We need big failures if we're going to move the needle. Billion-dollar scale failures," Bezos said. "And if we're not, we're not swinging hard enough." In that sense, Just Walk Out was a smashing success of a failure. Not only is the idea worthy of Amazon's scale ambition, but it was likely over $1 billion in terms of development time, resources, opportunity cost, and failed potential. So perhaps Amazon can be forgiven for swinging hard. However, swinging hard without thought is not a virtue. The idea made it out of the lab too quickly, and sometimes it felt like the inmates were running the asylum here. After all, Amazon could not even keep Just Walk Out Go stores in downtown Seattle. Nevertheless, they persisted. "Look, it didn't work for us, but trust us, it'll work for you." Wrong. Because of Amazon's struggles to scale either its convenience store or grocery concept, it then tried to resell this failed Just Walk Out idea to others, to very limited success. An even bolder new approach is needed, and I'm not even talking April Fools here. If Amazon wants to reinvent the grocery market, I suggest it think much differently, perhaps in a much the same way it thought when Kindle disrupted the publishing world and created a revolution. How to get food directly from the farm to my mouth. Jeff Bezos took the Alexa idea from Star Trek. While this has been interesting, I'm not sure what money is generated. What I really want is a replicator in Star Trek to make food for me, and for that device to be scalable in the home. We already have a replicator-like device out there, and that's a 3D printer. That would be another Amazon-scale ambition that would disrupt an entire food supply chain in much the way Kindle did to publishing. Of course, it sounds completely silly right now, but artificial proteins are already being created today. It's only a matter of time before the idea of a 3D printer and total disruption of the food supply chain are combined into one. Perhaps that could be a multi-billion-dollar swing that Amazon might attempt, maybe even in my lifetime. Now a word from our sponsor, Commerce Tools. When a multi-billion-dollar beauty brand's e-commerce platform neared the end of its life, the entire business was at risk, including the ability to serve customers. By switching to Commerce Tools and embracing a more flexible mock architecture, the retailer's vision for connecting in-store and personalized shopping experiences became a reality. The brand can now roll out new features within days, securing its position as a modern brand that uses technology to its advantage. If you're being held hostage by your technology platform and your developers have thrown up their hands, tell them to start a free trial at commercetools.com today.
Commerce Tools is thrilled to announce its first ever live event, Elevate, the Global Commerce Summit in Miami Beach, Florida, April 16th to 18th, 2024. This is a one-of-a-kind global meeting place for business leaders and technical professionals across brands, verticals, and regions. By day, you'll engage with a power-packed agenda, including stories from brands like PetSmart, Peloton, Ticketmaster, Ulta Beauty, and Zorro that have adopted a modern approach to commerce, thought leaders debating the future of the industry, and hands-on developer training tracks for both individuals and teams. By night, attend an opening party on the white sands of Miami Beach and an exclusive Havana Nights celebration. Tickets are on sale now at elevate.commercetools.com.
It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have four items on the menu today. First, Guess announces $200 million share repurchase program. Guess plans to repurchase $200 million of common stock, exchange $14.6 million of convertible notes for $12 million in 2028, and repurchase 326,000 shares for $10.3 million. Guess is trying to get its finances back in order and return capital to investors via a special dividend of $2.25 per share. Second, Walmart announces second class of Beauty Accelerator Program. Walmart announced its second group of up-and-coming beauty brands that is part of its Walmart Start Beauty Accelerator, aimed at helping startup beauty brands launch inside Walmart. Walmart is rethinking how it can use its ecosystem to help startups and consumers find what they need. Third, Kidzee raises $1 million in pre-seed funding. Kidzee, which aggregates Overstock and Open Box products for kids and babies, has raised $1 million in pre-seed funding. Is this a long-term business or is this a feature? It's not clear how this business competes with Facebook Marketplace. And finally, Pandion secures $41.5 million in Series B funding. Parcel shipping network Pandion has announced $41.5 million in Series B funding and the addition of new senior leadership. The new funding will be invested in technology and its distribution network, and it sounds like a final mile network. And today's final word of the week is niche. Does it seem to me that all incumbent e-commerce platform players are not really trying to compete with Shopify that hard? Every single player in the ecosystem, from my point of view, from Salesforce on down to Adobe to BigCommerce to Commerce Tools, as well as upstarts like VTEX and Shopware, nobody is trying to take the fight directly to Shopify's base. Perhaps it's a smart approach, but when you cede the mainstream of the market to your competition without a fight, don't be surprised when they come to your niche later too. It still seems the e-commerce platform market needs a lot more competition. Did you know that RMW Commerce has a brand new podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. Our production partner for the series is Citizen Race Car. The show is produced by Jose Baez. Production manager, Gabrielle Montecchi. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.